Hallelujah. Amen. Turn with me in the Bible to Exodus chapter 12. Go ahead and ask you to go to Luke chapter 22. There, just hold that spot. I'm going to be in Exodus 12 to end this. What's next Sunday? Easter Sunday. It's upon us, which means today is Palm Sunday. We're just preparing our hearts to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. The fact that He's alive, living, interceding on our behalf. Blood covers our sins. He's given us His righteousness to wear. Man, such good news that our God is alive. If you haven't, want to encourage you to extend personal invitations to those in your life that don't have a church home. Maybe they're Christians, maybe they're not, but they don't go to church. Extend an invitation to them for next Sunday. We'd love to have them. We're going to have a special service. We're ready to have them. And they're more likely to say yes to that invitation than any other one here in the year. So take advantage of it. Invite some folks to church next Sunday. One other thing before we dive into the Word. We're in the midst of taking up our Annie Armstrong offering. That goes to our North American Mission Board. Straight to the support of our missionaries that are working all over North America, as you've seen several examples during our offering time the last several weeks. So if you haven't given, pray about what the Lord might lead you to give to that. We're about halfway there to our goal right now. You ready to get the Word? Exodus chapter 12. A strange place to be a week before Easter, maybe. But I don't think it is. We find ourselves at the end of God rescuing His people out of Egypt. If you've been with us, you know what's got going on. If you haven't, I'm going to briefly sum it up for you. God's people have been slaves in Egypt for 400 years up to this point in Exodus chapter 12. God hears their cry for help. He raises up a deliverer, a rescuer, by the name of Moses. And He has sent Moses back to Egypt, to the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, to tell him what? Let my people go, right? I heard y'all had a good sermon last week. For some reason, he preached a bunch of chapters at one time. But Moses goes in. God tells him exactly what to do. Pharaoh hardens his heart. And the Lord sends 9 plagues to reveal who He is. Not just to Pharaoh, but to His very own people and to a watching world. God is showing everybody who He is in the midst of what we would say is a spiritual war between the gods of Egypt, little g gods of Egypt, and the one true God. And God shows everybody. In Exodus chapter 12, we arrive at the end of this war. God is about to bring it to an end with a final plague. A final act that only He can do. And He's going to give His people specific instructions about what to do during this time. Because He's going to pass through Egypt and He's going to strike down every firstborn of every family, both animals and human beings. But He gives His people specific instructions that they must follow by faith so that He doesn't pass through their homes, but He will pass over their homes. And after that, He will take His people finally out of Egypt. They will be set free. So that's what we're going to see. We're not going to read every piece of Exodus chapter 12, but I would encourage you to go back through and read chapter 11 and 12 and 13 all together so you can see exactly what the Lord is doing in His people's lives. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pray and then we're going to dive in. And as we do this today, what we're going to do is we're going to walk straight into celebrating the Lord's Supper. Some of you already know how all this connects, but we'll be reminded of it. Some of you may not. This may be something new for you. But pray that the Spirit just leads you through His Word and leads us all through celebrated his supper as we remember his life, death, and resurrection on our behalf. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you that we can gather this morning to sing to you and to study your word, to hear from you, to worship you. God, I pray that that's exactly what has happened and what will continue to happen. Pray that your Spirit will lead us, speak to our hearts, and that you would do among our hearts what only you can. You would make those of us who have a relationship more like you, and that you would work in the lives of those who may not belong to you, may not have believed and repented of their sins to your Son, Lord. God, we pray that you would work in their hearts too, and that you would turn them to faith and repentance today. We love you, and we thank you for your presence here with us today. Amen. So, we're going to say three things this morning. We're going to talk about the Passover, which is this event, and it also becomes known as the supper that God's people would celebrate what happens in this chapter. Every single year, they would stop and they would have a whole week where they look back on what God did in Exodus chapter 12, celebrating him rescuing them out of Egypt. And they called that event the Passover. And here in these passages, we see many things. We don't have near enough time to see all of them this morning and point them out. But we're going to see three things. The Passover first. The Passover is about sacrifice. The Passover is about sacrifice. So I want to, before we even read the passage, I want you to think about sacrifice for a moment. Soldiers. The soldiers that go to battle into war, even train for the possibility of battle or war on behalf of our country, many of them sacrifice their lives. They lay down their lives in place of others so that others might have freedom, right? Once you have that in mind, the idea of sacrifice, somebody laying down their life for someone else. There are times when our emergency workers, whether they're EMTs or police officers or firefighters, they wind up laying down their lives so that somebody else could live, right? There's times when parents do that. They find themselves laying down their lives so that their child can live. Passover is about sacrifice. We're going to see that in this chapter. So why did there need to be a sacrifice in Egypt? Read with me, chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read several verses, so just follow along your copy of God's Word. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." So, a sacrifice. Because the Lord was going to execute judgment in Egypt. He would execute judgment on the gods, the little g gods of Egypt. He would execute judgment on the sinners in Egypt, on Pharaoh and every family in Egypt. And let's be clear, there was no one innocent in Egypt. Pharaoh was guilty. Egypt as a nation was guilty. Even Moses was guilty. At one point in these chapters leading up to this event, Moses accused God of doing evil to his people. God's people were guilty. They didn't believe. Numerous times they didn't believe God. So if God was going to pass through Egypt and execute judgment upon sin, people would die, and if people weren't going to die, there needed to be something to die in their place. So God tells every household that would listen and among his people to take a lamb, slaughter, put the blood of that lamb on their doorposts of their houses. So that when he executed judgment and he passed through Egypt, he would see the blood of the lamb, each lamb of every household in Israel, of Israel's people, on their houses. And instead of passing through their houses and striking down their firstborn, he would pass over their houses if they had made the sacrifice of the lamb. See, the Passover was about sacrifice. Do you see it? They had a choice. Seems real clear to us. Seems like they could not trust God and have their firstborn and their family die, which could be multiple people in one family. Or they could trust the Lord, slaughter a lamb, put the blood of that lamb on their doorpost, and the Lord would pass over them. Pretty clear choice. Especially after the Lord has shown himself already in so many ways. So the Passover was about sacrifice. But not only that, the Passover was about grace and faith. If you think about grace for a second, grace is a free gift. We get celebrated on our birthdays. People give us cakes and presents. And we didn't do anything to earn those things but live. Or even survive another year, right? That's grace, right? Here you go. You didn't do anything to deserve it. I just love you. Here's your gift. The Passover was about grace. And we may look at this passage and say, where is God's grace in this story? He's about to execute a very severe judgment on everyone that's in Egypt, but where is his grace? His grace is that he's judging sin, and everybody deserves to be judged, but he provides a way out of judgment with a lamb for every family. And understand this. God's people, those individual families that would slaughter a lamb and put the blood of a lamb on the doorpost, didn't do anything to deserve a way out. They just lived in Egypt. They were descendants of Abraham, and that was it. And God was going to rescue them. It was grace. If you think even further back in the story, it was grace that God had already shown himself 9 times. To be the one true God, so that by the time they get to the 10th plague, when he would pass through Egypt and execute judgment on them, when he says, slaughter a lamb so that I will pass over your home instead of through your home, they would believe him. And that in itself is grace. That he gave them sign after sign after sign that who he was the one true God. And when he said he was going to do it, he would really do it. It's grace. He loved his people. He wanted them to believe him and follow him. Because that would be ultimately the best thing for them. Grace and faith. to think about. First, look back at verse 12. Verse 13, I'm sorry. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And I will, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now think about it. You get this word from the Lord as a family, and you see other families reacting to it, and some are believing, and they're beginning this process of slaughtering the lamb and putting blood on the doorpost. Some are not. And you have a choice. You can act in faith, believe the Lord, and follow through with what he said, or you cannot believe. I can believe that this pew will hold me up, right? But I haven't placed my faith in this pew until what? I sit down in it, right? These people were called to act on God's grace extended to them with faith. And all that was to slaughter a lamb and put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost. It required faith. Do you see that? They had to believe God here. The beautiful thing is that when they did believe God, and when God did pass through Egypt, he actually did pass over every household that had the blood of a lamb on it. And the following day, his people were set free.
Praise God.
Keep reading with me. Exodus 12, starting 28. Says, then the people of Israel went out and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. Then he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, up, go out from my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Verse 33. The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading bowls being bound up in their cloaks on their shoulders. The people of Israel had also done as Moses told them, for they had asked the Egyptians for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And the people of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, and very much livestock, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough that they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and could not wait, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. I want you to think about something for a moment. This is a rescue. God is saving his people. They are slaves of the most powerful nation at the time in the world. There is no hope outside of a miracle of them being set free anytime soon. Yet, they're set free. And they're not just set free. But Pharaoh, verses 31 and 32, is literally shooing them out of Egypt. He tells them to go. And he doesn't just tell them to go. He says, go serve or worship your God. And as you go, please bless me too. Not only that, but verse 36 says that these slaves, God's people who were slaves, they were the lowliest of the lowest slaves in Egypt, who in chapter 1, Pharaoh was telling all his people to kill these people's baby boys, those slaves, are walking out of Egypt, and God's word says that they plundered the Egyptians. See, they're not just set free. Like, God made them victorious over the Egyptians. So they go from slaves to victors. They go from poor to rich. They have so much stuff, and they don't even have a place to take it yet. Chapter 1 tells us that Abraham's family came into, the descendants of Abraham came into the land of Egypt, 70 persons in all. They leave Egypt, 600,000 men, plus women and children. Can you imagine? Not only that, but there was people that joined in with them. Everybody that was leaving Egypt by faith wasn't a blood descendant of Abraham. It tells us in verse 38, they were a mixed multitude. So there was people who recognized God Almighty as God Almighty, placed faith in him, and said, I'm going with them. As Ruth said to Naomi, my God, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'm leaving Egypt. Based on what they had seen God do. Completely victorious. Completely free. This brings us to our final point this morning. That we need to see is that this Passover, this sacrifice of a lamb, God executing a severe judgment in the land of Egypt, and God setting his people free, was all pointing to a greater sacrifice. I want you to read a couple more verses, and then we're going to go to Luke. Verse 24, it says, you shall observe this rite, this supper, as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come to the land the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. In other words, God wants them every year, this time of year, to do all the things that they did in Egypt when he rescued them out of Egypt. Slaughter the lamb, have your family cook it and eat it, and unleavened bread, all those things. They're going to do this year after year after year. Verse 26, when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their hearts and worshipped. Now this isn't the only place that God commands them. In these chapters, there's three or four chapters right here that God tells them over and over again to celebrate this Passover meal year after year after year forever. And they do. But there's a handful of psalms that the entire chapter is written about this event. This miraculous rescue of God's people out of Egypt, where he said, you sacrifice a lamb in the place of your family, and I will pass over you. And the next day, I will take you out of Egypt. And you won't just be free slaves, but you will be free and victorious over Egypt. And they did. And as they did, their children learned of it. Their children's children learned of it. Generation after generation learned of what the Lord had done for them in Egypt. All the way up to Jesus' time. That's where it takes us to Luke 22. 22, and I'm going to read verses 14 through 20. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, the Sunday where Jesus came into Jerusalem the week before his crucifixion on the cross. Came into Jerusalem and people reacted differently to him, but once the crowds stopped praising him and everything died down that week in Jerusalem, he gathered his disciples together to have a meal with them. Because the week that Jesus came into Jerusalem, the week that he would be crucified on the cross, and the week that would end with his resurrection out of the grave, was the week that they would celebrate the Passover. Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So let's pause there for a second. The disciples, this is another Passover. It hasn't really sunk in the things that Jesus has told them, that he will die and be raised up by his Father in the coming days. They haven't really heard it yet. So to them, they're going to Jerusalem just as they've done year after year after year their entire life. This time they're sitting down with Jesus to celebrate the Passover, what God did over 1,000 years ago in Egypt. Verse 17 says, and he, Jesus, took a cup. When he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after he had eaten, saying, this cup is poured out for you in the new, is the new covenant in my blood. See, Jesus is changing before their eyes. He is changing what the Passover is about. They're remembering lambs that were slaughtered by the direction of God on behalf of every family. And Jesus is saying, this bread and this wine is my blood in my body, which is given for you. That given to you is sacrificial language. He's pointing to his death on the cross. Jesus, before the week is over, the week of Passover, the week that God would execute judgment back in Egypt that they celebrate, he would pass over his people because the blood of a lamb that is put on their doorpost. Jesus is about to take all the wrath of God upon himself that week, so that all can place faith in him. When God executes judgment over all sin in the world, he will pass over all who are covered by the blood of Jesus. So Jesus tells his disciples, this is my blood, this is my body. Later on, Paul tells the church, you do this, this Lord's Supper, until Jesus comes again. So church, today that's what we're going to do. We're going to take the Lord's Supper, we're going to take the bread, and we're going to remember Jesus' body given for us. We're going to take the cup, and we're going to remember Jesus' blood that was poured out for us. If you're here and you believe, I want to encourage you. Take the time. We're going to spend a few minutes in prayer, and then the deacons are going to come in service. But take a few moments and prepare your heart to worship the Lord and remember what he's done on your behalf. John chapter 1, verse 29. Claiming the arrival of Jesus, John said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hebrews 10:14 says, by one sacrifice, he, Jesus, has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." As believers, we have the privilege of remembering and praising God for what he did through his Son, Jesus. If you're here and you're not a believer, this celebration isn't for you, but it is an invitation to you to place faith in Jesus. And then you too can remember what he's done for you. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to spend the next few moments preparing our hearts to take the Lord's Supper. God, we love you. And we thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. We thank you that you have given us the grace of sending your Son to us and living a perfect life and dying on the cross in our place and being risen from the dead on the third day so that we can place faith in him. We thank you for that grace. And we thank you that all you've called us to is faith, to believe and repent. We thank you that Jesus took our sin upon himself so that when judgment day comes, Lord, we will stand before you cleansed by the blood of your Son and clothed in the righteousness of your Son. God, we thank you.